You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Well, hello and welcome to William Hill's Daily Racing Podcast for Friday. Looking ahead to the action on the third day of the William Hill Central Ledger Festival from Doncaster. Of course, you can hear all the action live on William Hill's Racing Radio. You'll be in the company of Gordon Brown, Gary Capewell and Andrew Mount for that on William Hill's Racing Radio from 10 past 1. Sandown, Chester and Salisbury are the other domestic meetings. There's also, of course, this toll across the Irish Sea. And it looks like it's going to be a fantastic day as the festival continues its wind towards the big race, the final classic, on Saturday. And now to look ahead to the action on Friday, along with some other big topics from the world of racing, I'm John Gibby and I'm joined by Chris Pimlott. Pimmers, how are you?
I'm very well indeed, John. Very well indeed. And it's getting a little bit of a taster now for that William Hill St Ledger on Saturday. For me, it was a pretty low-key start on Town War on Wednesday. Today, obviously, is much better. Friday's better, and obviously, culminating in the last classic of the year on Saturday. So, yeah, all to look forward to. I never really think the St Ledger floats my boat.
Mm.
But as we've looked back over the years, there has been some very good horses to have won it, and also some good horses in the likes of Camelot to get beaten it as well. Mm. So, it's at a time of year when some of them are just coming to the end of the tether, and a time of year where some of them are just coming into their own, really. So it'll be an intriguing race, as you'd imagine. Obviously, Aidan O'Brien, well represented, as per usual, and he's won it many times in the past, and they've gone on to be stallions for him in the shape of Yates and Brian Baru and such like. It's intriguing, to say the least, and for me, I thought there was three or four in with a valid chance.
You mentioned a low-key start to the festival as well. Unlike pretty much every other big meeting, the St Ledger Festival, it winds up, doesn't it? It starts on the Wednesday with, I think it's just the one listed contest.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a much more low-key affair, a lot of handicaps, things like that. And then as we're recording this today on the Thursday, you've got those contests for fillies, of course, the Parker and the Mayhill. Then tomorrow you've got the Doncaster Cup.
Yeah, yeah.
And the Flying Childers, and it all winds up to the Ledger, and also the Champagne Stakes, of course.
Exactly, which is obviously a big, big race as well. So, yeah, you know, it's... Whereas, like, at Cheltenham and Ascot, often your opening day is your best day.
Well, if you think of Ascot starts with the Queen Anne, and Cheltenham starts with the Sprint Novices Hurdle.
Yeah.
So it's... They start with some of the bigger races.
That's right, they do indeed. But to be fair, this is the opposite, and quite rightly so, that we save the best till last.
You like it that way?
Indeed.
Fantastic. Well, thinking about the best, and that is, of course, the William Hill St Ledger, the final classic of the season, that Group 1 over a mile and 6.5 furlongs for three-year-olds, goes off at Doncaster, of course, 3:35 on Saturday. And I know you said that it doesn't usually float your boat, Pimmers, the St Ledger, but this is definitely a better renewal than some recent years.
Yeah, I think it is. I think you're dead right. I think the market reflects that as well. Obviously, you've got Crystal Ocean, who certainly seems to be going the right way. A typical Sir Michael Stout horse that gradually, as the season progresses, they progress, they go forward. And he was a readied winner last time out. Capri again, more than likely the best of the Aidan O'Brien bunch. Ryan Moore takes them out on that one. So again, another sort of horse that came good last time out. And again, confidence will have been bolstered by that. Has an official rating of 120, which on official ratings would make him the best horse in the race, to be perfectly honest.
By a distance as well.
So, you know, he's certainly one that you've got to keep on the right side of. And the other one that is really a horse that's getting better and better with each race, and that's Defoe, who Andrea Zini knows how to win this race, as we've seen in the past. And Defoe could well be the one that is going forward at the right time of year.
We've heard that, as we record this on Thursday, Frankie Dettori has opted to take the ride on Coronet rather than Stradivarius. As a result, Coronet's now into 7-1 for us here at William Hill. Stradivarius out to the same price. They're both 7-1. James Doyle will take the ride on Stradivarius. He won a Goodwood Cup. He's a Group 1 winner. Not many horses come to the Ledger having won a Group 1, Pimmers, but Would you be concerned for Stradivarius backers with Frankie choosing Coronet?
Most certainly, yeah. Most certainly. I think, you know, Frankie will have had the choice. He's decided to ride Coronet. And I think that's possibly a tip in its own right, isn't it? Mm. So, yeah, you can see why one's come in and one's gone out simply because of his decision to ride which one.
Yeah, so as I mentioned, James Doyle riding Stradivarius, the other Gosden horse in this race. And as you mentioned as well, Aidan O'Brien represented by the likes of Venice Beach, last seen finishing second to Cracksman in the Great Voltage Stakes.
Yeah, again, he lost nothing in the Indy feat behind there. Obviously, Cracksman's gone on to win in France at the weekend. But again, this type of race, you know, O'Brien likes to throw plenty of darts at the board because at the end of the day, they're not particularly bothered which one sticks in the bullseye as long as one of them does.
Mm. Do you have a selection for the race?
Yeah, if I was going to have a bet, and I was going to have a bet at this moment in time, I think 4-1 is quite juicy about Capri.
Capri, then, for Pimmers in the St. Ledger. Goes off this Saturday, of course. You can hear it live here on William Hill's Racing Radio. But now, let's move ahead to look to some of Friday's action. And we're going to get your nap and your next best selection. So first up, where does the nap run?
The nap goes at Chester in the 3:55.
And what is the nap?
Aha! Right Touch. Right Touch is the nap. I mean, a field of 12 have been declared, of which Richard Fahey has 5 entries of the 12-strong field. He's got Right Touch. He's got Pem with him, who won the race last year. He's got Raja. Hannigan the Manigan taking the mount there. He's got Louis van der Torres with David Nolan. And he's also got Gabrielle the Tiger with Franny Norton. So a very strong hand. As I say, he won the race last year with Pem with him. But I just think Right Touch ticks the boxes for me. He's gradually coming down the handicap. He is a course and distance winner in the past. He's taken another valuable £7 off his back in the shape of Connor Murta. And I just think there's lots of little ticks in the boxes to make him the right way this time. Earlier on in the year, back in May at York, he was off a mark of 99. He's down to 93 now, so he's £6 lower in the weights. He's got the young boy taking £7 off. So on his very best form, he's absolutely thrown in here. I think stall one's ideal for him as well because he can jump and go.
And it's Chester.
Yeah, exactly. And I think he's the most appealing of the Fahey. Is it quintet for 5?
Yep, that would be quintet.
Oh.
5 for the 12 strong field. It's a maximum field as well.
Yeah.
So. This Fahey, as you mentioned, responsible for 5. He has a quintet.
But also, again, the North is well represented with David O'Meara got a couple of runners. Ruth Carr's got a runner. Kevin Ryan, although Heir to the Throne could be a doubtful runner, I think. Mick Appleby, Call Out Loud, and obviously Tom Gaskin's got a couple. So there's one thing for certain. We can see the prize staying up North.
Mm.
Happy days.
We love that,
don't we? Keep those Southerners at bay, that's what I say.
They didn't keep me at bay for very long.
No, they did not, but you escaped.
I did. I did indeed escape. I escaped in order to hear your nap, which will run in that Chester 3:55 Right Touch, and also your next best.
Yep, we're going to go back to Town Moor now for the next best. He's a horse that was in good form in the early part of the season. Things have just not gone quite right for him of late, and his form has slightly tapered off. But again, because of that, he's slipping down the weights a little bit. It is, as I say, the 4:35 at Doncaster, and the next best is Normandy Barriere. Sylvester de Souza, 1-3-1 for the season as we record, takes the mount. And to be fair, William Buick's won on this horse quite a few times. He then went to Ireland and had a dreadful passage there when Pat Smullen rode him. And then the last twice, he possibly just has underachieved a little bit, although his run last time out here at Donny was slightly more encouraging. I think coming down in the weights, I don't think the ground will be an issue for him, although his best form has come on good to firm. I think tomorrow he could well bounce back. I'm expecting him to be a reasonable price as well. So if he wanted to do, you could go each way with 9 of them heading to the start. And again, he would be the next best. Obviously, those Shropshire Wolves have got Dugan entered there. And certainly, he needs things to fall right for him. But if they did, he could well be a player for those Wolves. Those pesky Wolves headed by the Baron Bapp.
I remember when Normandy Barriere, an eye catcher for me in the early part of the season, ran at Newmarket before winning at Ascot, as you mentioned. He also ran a really great race in the Wokingham, despite finishing ninth. Beaten less than four lengths by Outdo in the end. I thought
it was a
really
great
well
run, that yeah. was. Really good run. Yeah, I mean, he's a tough little horse. Just as I say, things just haven't gone quite right for him the last couple of times, but I'm going to forgive him that and hope that he can bounce back tomorrow. As I say, course and distance winner as well in the past. Hopefully we get a big run for our money.
Fantastic. Normandy Barriere, the next best selection of Chris Pimlott on Friday in the 4:35 at Doncaster. So plenty more to come from the St. Ledger this week, Pimlott. And one of the owners who, of course, will be represented in a number of the high-class contests will be Godolphin. And we want to speak now and talk a little bit about Godolphin. It's been a very tumultuous year for them, really, hasn't it? That, you know, there's been plenty of ups and downs. Things have gotten even more interesting for them over the last couple of days as well, because there's been quite a big shift in their recruitment policy in terms of the sales.
Yeah, I think, again, to be fair, at the weekend, what pleased me about the strategy of the Godolphin boys now is that in the past, they liked a horse, they wanted the horse, they'd go and buy it, having done well with their previous trainer and having done plenty for them to say, well, we need to buy this horse. Mm. Now they've gone a new strategy where if they like the horse, it's done well with the trainer, it stays with the trainer. And that was well shown at the weekend with, obviously, Harry's Angel winning at Haydock for Clive Cox and also for Ribchester, who obviously has done so well for Richard Fahey. In the past, they would have taken those horses away. Whether they would have done as well as they've done, as they have now stayed with the current trainer, remains to be seen. I think not, personally. Mm. So I think that's a great strategy that they've come to of late. And then the other one is, as we've seen in today's paper, is that they've actually now buried the hatchet. That might be a little bit strong to say that, but certainly they've, you know, held out a peace offering to Coolmore because they've gone and bought from Coolmore Stallions, which it's a long, long time since I think they've parted with any money that's headed back to Ireland.
Yeah,
and I think that's a forward move. Whether that's significant through John Ferguson resigning and having a change of policy regarding that, I'm not just sure.
It's interesting because that was their policy for a long time before John Ferguson was chief executive.
Well, it wasn't. Yeah.
I know he had an interest in the company.
But yeah, but they banned Coolmore basically, hadn't they? Along before Ferguson was as the top dog, so to speak. So yeah, I think that's a real positive, and I think, you know, it does actually say, well, actually, hang on a minute, lads. We want to buy the best horses now, and if it means we've got to go to Coolmore and eat maybe a little bit of humble pie, well, what the heck? We're in this racing job to have the best.
Interesting.
And if that's where we've got to go, well, let's do it.
It's interesting to see, though, the stallions that they bought from McKinnon in Australia, Uncle Mo, and looking at Lucky, two Australias, in fact. So do you think going forward, if this turns out to be successful, you know, we don't know what's going on internally at the company, but if this turns out to be successful, do you think they could go the whole hog and start looking to buy some Galileo sometime?
The problem with Galileo now, he's getting to the end of his tether, isn't he? They might have missed the boat a little bit there. But with the Scat Daddies, obviously he's no longer with us, but they're more than likely thinking, well, actually, if we can just get a good Scat Daddy, we can continue that bloodline a little bit. So I think that might have been the thinking, certainly with the Scat Daddy, that they want to continue that bloodline of that top American horse, you know. But it's definitely, for me, a step in the right direction.
Yeah.
Good to see that the superpowers are willing to liaise and to integrate and work together.
Because the last couple of years have been interesting for Godolphin. Despite their internal strife, they've also seen a lot of success, of course, this season with the likes of Ribchester and Harry Rangel, and also winning the Eclipse last year with Hawkbill.
Yeah, yeah. But again, those main successes this year have come with horses that they've bought, having shown a level of ability, and then they've bought, as I say, and left with their current trainer. I think that's a big plus for them.
You think it's
because they're having the success, and whether it's with Charlie Appleby or Sai Bin Saror, that doesn't matter now, does it?
Yeah.
As long as they're having those Group 1 wins, that's what it's all about. For those superpowers, Group 1 is essential.
It's interesting as well, talking about Charlie Appleby and Sai Bin Saror, Binsa Royal was, well, there's no way to sugarcoat it, basically complaining this year
that
he hadn't been sent very good two-year-olds. If they are going to buy horses, keep them in training with the original trainers, and this is sort of going to be more the policy going forward, where do the likes of Sy Binsa Royal fit in the future of Godolphin going forward?
Well, I think they're more than likely fit in as far as they will get a lot of the homebreds and such like that, and they'll want to carry on that you know element of the Godolphin branch, won't they? I mean, to be fair to Sy Binsa Royal, he's had 51 winners from 205 runners this year, a 25% strike rate. So that's no mean feat, is it? To be perfectly apple and Charlie Appleby. Working similar site strike rate, 26%. So, you know,
especially with his own juveniles, he's absolutely flying this
season. Yeah, and he's had Charlie Appleby's had 74 winners and 281 runners. He's over $1.5 million in prize money. So, to be fair to those two guys, they're actually not doing a bad job either, are they?
Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens with Godolphin going forward, and what will happen after they have bought from Coolmore Sires after their long boycott of that. But Pimmer, thanks so much for your thoughts on that, and of course all of tomorrow's racing. Best of luck with your nap and next best. Sure, you won't need it.
Fingers crossed. Let's hope Norman Barriere and Don't Touch make it a happy Friday.
And remember that you can catch all the action from the third day of the William Hill St. Ledger Festival at Doncaster and the rest of the day's racing on William Hill's Racing Radio from 1:10 in the afternoon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.